Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 27th of April 2025. We read from the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 to get started with. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Once again, we approach it humbly, knowing that your word is the right way to walk on this earth. May we apply your word to our lives and allow your word to transform us from one degree of glory to the next. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua. We continue our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit that we are going to be discussing in this teaching is the one that is described as long-suffering. In this verse of Scripture, it speaks about putting on all these qualities, which are basically the fruit of the Spirit, including long-suffering. Now, this term long-suffering, unfortunately, has implications which, to a large extent, have made us children of God perhaps a bit wary of this fruit. And that wariness is based on a misunderstanding. The Bible translators in recent times, by and large, have dropped the term long-suffering and replaced it with patience. The great fruit of patience. Now, there's a very good reason why it was originally translated as long-suffering. And the reason is because this is a word that is made up of more than one Greek root word. It's a composite word, as it were. The two Greek words that make up this word that has been translated as long-suffering and more recently as patience are macro and tumeo. Macro, tumeo. Now, macro is a word that we all understand. We have a store called Macro, which is obviously a store that sells wholesale, bulk, big, large. The idea being cheaper, greater turnover, and that's how they make their profit. But you see, macro is big from the Greek understanding of the word. And when we talk about patience, we're talking about a certain attitude which is maintained for a long period of time. How long is a question of debate, and we'll talk about that. But you see, the one part of this word macrotumia is the word macro, long. So we can understand why translators would have started off with long and then added suffering. The second word is slightly more complicated than that. It's one of these very interesting words in the Greek language which seems to have many implications, lots of different nuances, as it were. That word, tumeo, translated very often as suffering, is not really suffering in the sense of merely putting up with. You see, that's the problem with the translation long-suffering. The implication is that you and I, as Christians, must adopt almost like a stoic attitude in every single situation and become long-suffering, putting up with, almost like a doormat. But if we look at the word tumeo, that's not really the case. And I'm going to try, with God's help, to explain this. The root word of the word tumio is a word tuo, as far as I can make out. Tuo. Now, that root word means literally rush. Not in the sense of hurry rush, but in the sense of rushed breathing. If you've just run a race or exerted yourself more than you normally do, our breathing becomes very forced, rushed as it were. That's that sound which is made by breathing passionately. And that's the sense of this word, tuo. I'm reminded of that scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, where it speaks about as a deer pants for living water. Can you see that? That deer is thirsty and is running to find living water and is very desirous. You see, we've just got to try and pick up, with the help of the Spirit, the sense of this word. Now, you see, when we come to macrotumio, we're talking about an attitude. There are a whole lot of implications involved in this rushed breathing. It speaks about being passionate about something and, in a more spiritual sense, being fervent. The other aspect of it is rushing wind and that breath lighting a fire. In other words, kindling a fire by breathing on it. If you're trying to get your fire to go, if you haven't got a pair of bellows, you've got to blow into it, see? And that inspires that fire to burn brighter, brings the coals to life. Also added to this whole picture is the understanding that this fire is a sacrificial fire. It's a fire for offering up sacrifice. Now, we have to trust the Holy Spirit to impart this understanding. But you see, when we talk about tumio, we're talking about a fervent attitude, which is sacrificial, and in being sacrificial, in a sense, is sublime. That might be quite a lot to grasp in one go, but just let that sink in. Macrotumio is not just suffering and suffering and suffering because that's what Christians do. Many a Christian, I believe, has suffered in this way, thinking that they were being godly, when in fact they weren't really. But I need to explain. Perhaps the best way to explain the whole understanding is with an example. Many of us, when we were being taught at school, I'm sure, had different kinds of teachers. Some good, some not so good, some bad, some outstanding, and a whole range in between. But from my experience, going back now to those years when I was at school, the teachers that, for me, were the most inspirational, I suppose you could call them, or let me put it more simply, the teachers that got the most out of me, and they were very few and far between, by the way, I was a hard case, to be honest. But you see, the ones that inspired me were the ones that were patient for a start. Patience in the sense of, if you went to them with a problem, they didn't try to get rid of you as quickly as possible, explain it quickly and expect you to grasp it and basically give the impression, well, you better not ask again because you'll probably be regarded as foolish or stupid. But there were other teachers that insisted that they were convinced that you had actually got it. They were prepared, as it were, to repeat the process over and over again. Now, you see, our understanding of patience stops at that point. But let me say this. The understanding of macrotumio goes beyond that. You see, the greatest teachers of all were not the ones that felt, in a sense, and conveyed this impression that they were merely doing their duty. This was their task. In a sense, this was the cross they had to bear. Can you see? But there were those who looked upon it with enthusiasm. They were not just doing it because they had to. They were enthusiastic about you learning something. They were enthusiastic about this whole process being successful. You see, that is the sense of macrotumio. It's not only about putting up with, but it is the attitude we have while doing so. And if I can just try and incorporate all the thoughts that we've spoken about now, that attitude is an enthusiasm which, despite the difficulty, sees through to the end and is cheerful about it. The teachers who could do that with a sense of humor were in a class all of their own, and they're very hard to come by. But you see, that's the sense of macrotumio. Under difficult circumstances, having the right attitude, and because of that attitude, breaking through, having victory. Now, here's where the whole subject takes another turn. As far as I understand, in the Greek language, there are a number of terms for time, but the two differing terms that we find in the New Testament are one, chronos, speaking about the commodity of time, how much time we as human beings have. It's something that we all have a certain amount of. The other word for time is the word kairos. Kairos is not the commodity of time, it's that moment in time. We speak about a kairos moment. That moment Paul the Apostle had on the way to Damascus. An appointed moment. Now, let's tie that up with this understanding of macrotumio. You see, the fruit of patience which we all have, believe it or not, it's been placed in us by the Holy Spirit, is this ability to have the right attitude, a cheerful, exuberant attitude in every situation. But the question is now, for how long? Can you see? Well, the answer is, true macrotumio maintains the right attitude for as long as it takes. In other words, right up until that moment, that kairos moment, when salvation takes place, the breakthrough takes place, the liberation takes place. And we don't know when that is going to be. However, what we have to realize is that the length of time it takes for that kairos moment to happen is determined, yes, by God, but to a large extent, it is determined by our attitude in the moment. We need to understand that God's got something more on his mind than you and I just getting and having that which is for us salvation. The greater picture is that he wants us to develop our character. And you see, when you and I demonstrate this fruit, this attitude of macrotumio, positive enthusiasm, sacrificial enthusiasm, we grow. Our nature, our spirit nature, our character develops. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to understand that God watches us and waits until we reach a certain maturity, as it were, after which he can say, let's do it, and the kairos moment arrives. How can I say that with any degree of confidence? Well, it seems to be a pattern in the Bible. The most obvious would be the Israelites in the wilderness. Geographers can tell us that for them to go from the point A where they left to the point B that they eventually arrived at, had they taken a direct route, wouldn't have taken them more than a few weeks. But they took 40 years. They took 40 years. What happened in that 40 years? Did they demonstrate macrotumio? Well, some of them did. I'm talking now about Joshua and Caleb. And they eventually inherited the promised land. But there is a whole generation of Israelites that didn't. We all know about them complaining in the wilderness. On occasions wanting to stone Moses because they wanted to go back to Egypt where they'd come from. Grumbling is what the Bible describes it as. Can you see? Is there a connection? Well, God seems to think so, if we read the scriptures carefully. Another good example is Joseph. Joseph had promises from God, great promises, but despite great promises, he finds himself stuck in a prison. Now, let's just consider this. From the limited account that we have of Joseph, we see that in prison, he didn't just sit around and mope and bewail the fact that God's promises didn't seem to be working for him and that his life was a mess. No, not at all. He applied himself to whatever was at hand, obviously, and because of his attitude, should I call it his macrotumia, he was elevated by the warden to the extent that he now became in control of the whole prison. And we know what happened to him subsequent to that, eventually becoming essentially the ruler of Egypt. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but that Kairos moment did arrive. However, in between what happened, Joseph was being prepared for the great task that he had ahead of him. And we can be assured that had he not had the right attitude, that Kairos moment might never have come. We think of New Testament examples, Paul and Silas, once again, in the Philippian jail. That's a very good example of macrotumia. In stocks, having been beaten, probably hungry and not seeing any way out, they chose to rejoice and praise God anyway. That's macrotumia, you see. That's macrotumia. And because of that, the Kairos moment could arrive a lot quicker than perhaps they expected. What is my point? These fruit of the Holy Spirit are extremely powerful. Remember, you and I, in our Christian walk, are not supposed to be passive. There is an activity involved. Now, it's true that the Bible says that we need to wait on the Lord. You see, and great promises associated with this waiting on the Lord. But please note, even that waiting is not a passive activity. It's not sitting around watching television, eating pizza, and waiting for God to do something. No, it's actively seeking. It's a thirsting for the living God. In a sense, it's this attitude of macrotumio, believing for the most positive outcome possible as we wait upon him. You and I, as we face life, must adopt this wonderful fruit of macrotumio. If you recall, when we were talking about love and we're reading that scripture in Corinthians, which describes love, it explains that love is patient and kind. Love puts up with and is kind. Can you see? Love puts up with and is kind. Being patient, being long-suffering, is not just going through the motions, but in the situation, despite the situation, demonstrating true character and kindness of heart. Not allowing the circumstance to make us bitter. And you see, when we combine that fruit with another fruit that we are going to be looking at later on, faithfulness, we can understand that God has placed in our hands an infallible combination, knowing that as we approach difficulties with the right attitude, an attitude of enthusiasm, releasing faith for a positive outcome, it's music to God's ears. And though he might wait a bit of time just to make sure his work is complete, will always, always, ultimately come through. May we be blessed as we allow this fruit of macro-enthusiasm to grow in our hearts. In the precious name of Yeshua. Amen.